Well, welcome back. Steve Rowling is stepping down from the Healthcare Foundation of Greater Kansas City. He's led the foundation since it was created in 2002. Since 2005, the foundation has invested more than $160 million in health-related projects and programs in Kansas City. The organization's goal, eliminating barriers and promoting quality health for the uninsured and underserved. Steve Rowling sits on KCUR's Community Advisory Board, and he joins us right now. And welcome and congratulations, Steve, on the upcoming retirement.
Well, I've never done this before, so it's a new experience for me.
New experience. Here you are all of a sudden. You've been talking about radio for years, and now you got to sit here and do it, eh? Well, put the foundation on the map for us, Steve. The mission is to eliminate barriers and promote quality health for the uninsured and underserved. How do you go about doing that?
Well, it's a team sport. Yeah. Obviously, no one group, no foundation, no matter how much money you have, can do that. When I was interviewing for the job, one of the questions I had from one of the board members that I thought cost me the job, the board member said, "You're going to have $20 million each year to pass out. How are you going to fix Kansas City? Now we'll be able to solve Kansas City's health problems. What ones are you going to tackle?" And I was thinking, I was just coming to being the director of the Department of Social Services state of Missouri, and I had $6.2 billion. Billion dollars. Mm-hmm. So I said to him, with all due respect, I did remember saying that, we're not going to solve healthcare problems with $20 million, even though it's a lot of money, and I think we've made progress, the community's made progress, but $20 million, $6.2 billion is not going to solve healthcare crisis, even in a town like Kansas City or a region like the metropolitan area.
So how did you go ahead? How did you approach the issue, even with $20 million to spend every year? How did you go about doing it?
Well, we have a fabulous board of directors, and our board of directors did some research for we got there, and then we looked at that research, tried to figure out what other people were doing, what was happening in the state. As you recall, Steve, in 2005, it's when Governor Blunt and the legislature cut the Medicaid from 100% of poverty down to 19% of poverty. So what we thought we were coming into is we were going to take the 100% of poverty and then add on to that and provide more programs and services.
Well, but instead, you were making up lost ground.
We had to make up for a lot of stuff that the state of Missouri cut. And then since 2005, with the recession 2008, the federal government, the state government have had additional cuts. So it's been pretty tough for the nonprofit community, for folks who are providing indigent care, the Trumans of the world, the safety net clinics, the not-for-profits who provide health care for the poor. It's been a rough time.
So do you actually use that money then for direct patient care in terms of funding, I guess, Truman and some of the clinics you're talking about?
Yes, Truman, if you're a patient of Truman, a few years back when you went in, you had the cranked-up beds, and now you have the fancy beds like St. Luke's and North Kansas City, like any patient deserves when they go into a hospital.
Because of the Healthcare Foundation.
Because our money helped with that. Obviously, it's because of Truman. I'm hesitant to say because of the Healthcare Foundation we did anything. Well, I used to work for Ewing Kauffman, and Ewing Kauffman had a saying that money doesn't solve problems, people solve problems. And what a foundation does is we provide that little bit of hopefully help with adding money, but the people who get the money, they're the ones who make the difference. And so while a foundation gives support, in this case we gave John Bluford and his wonderful staff at Truman some money to buy the beds, the thing that really made the difference is how the staff implemented that, how they went about educating folks, how the nurses, all their workman's compensation issues and expenses have dropped considerably. That's the real trick. Money doesn't solve problems. People solve problems.
Has that been the focus of the Healthcare Foundation, Steve, to more or less pick out specific needs and go about trying to address them? For instance, beds at Truman Medical Center?
Well, it's broader than that. We have our three primary focus areas are access to healthcare, safety net, access to healthcare, healthy lifestyles. We're very involved in preventing obesity and trying to get people to quit smoking. As you know, we were very involved in trying to raise the smoking tax in the state of Missouri, which unfortunately we were not successful. And that's my biggest disappointment in my entire life, I think.
Because this time it felt like that thing had a chance of passing.
We were so close. We were so close. We needed to change 20,000 votes out of 2.7 million votes.
Yeah.
We were, according to our calculations in our war room that night, until about 10:30 when the votes were coming in, we were still winning. And then all of a sudden, some of the rural counties came in at such an alarming negative number that we ended up losing by by a few votes.
But, and again, what you're talking about, Missouri has the lowest cigarette tax in the nation.
The lowest.
And it's not even close. We're, what, 19 cents a pack?
17 cents.
17 cents a pack. And I think the next lowest is like 49 cents? Or
It's 30, high 30s, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's just an amazing sort of situation in Missouri. And there have been any number of attempts to try to address it. And they keep falling short, which is to raise the cigarette tax in Missouri.
This is the third effort that since 2000, and I am hopeful, even though I won't be at the Healthcare Foundation, I'm hopeful the Healthcare Foundation will try it one more time because we were so close. We had a wonderful coalition of school folks and healthcare folks and foundation folks and non-for-profit folks, ministers. We just weren't able to pull it over, but we were very, very close.
You know, I know healthcare needs across the country. There are many similarities. Is there anything in your experience, Steve, that sort of makes Kansas City and the region here unique in terms of are there certain problems and challenges that we face here that need to be addressed sooner rather than later, in your view, unique somehow?
Well, one of the unique things we have in Kansas City is the health levy. And that's coming up for hopefully a vote in April.
This is in Kansas City, Missouri.
In Kansas City, Missouri. Mm-hmm. And that's so important. Truman is, because of the Affordable Care Act, Truman and all the other hospitals in the nation are losing their DSH payments. That's a payment they get for providing lots of care for Medicaid patients. Every hospital loses that. The Supreme Court ruled that each state could make their own judgment on whether to expand Medicaid. And right now, Missouri and Kansas are trying to figure out if they're going to actually expand Medicaid. If that doesn't happen, Truman and other hospitals will lose their DSH payments and not get any more Medicaid patients.
Mm-hmm.
And then if the health levy doesn't get renewed, then Truman is in trouble. I'm very confident the voters understand this and will support the health levy in April.
You know, why put this issue on the ballot in April before we know what the fate of the Medicaid question in Missouri is going to be?
Well, no matter what happens with Medicaid, it's going to be 5, 6 years, 7 years before the Affordable Care Act is really up and running. And even with the expansion of the Affordable Care Act and Medicaid, there's thousands and thousands of people who still won't be covered. All the undocumented.
That's a great misnomer that's out
there,
right? Because people think that Obamacare, as it's called, is going to solve all our problems.
That's not correct.
You're saying not the case.
There's still going to be thousands of people who still aren't going to be covered.
And why is that?
It's just the way the law was written.
It doesn't cover 100%.
That's right. That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right.
Who's being left behind?
Well, primarily the undocumented, but a lot of, some folks don't want to sign up for aid. Some people are so proud. When I was director of Social Services State of Missouri, you get the impression that a lot of freeloaders, people who feel entitled, et cetera, there are some people like that. But the vast majority of people in public assistance don't want to be there. They're like you and I who are trying to make a living, and they get break their leg or something happens that's tough for them, and they end up losing their job. Are they working two or three part-time jobs without health care? Most of the people in public assistance are really hardworking. Sister Berta, I know.
Yeah.
You go down
Operation Breakthrough.
You go down to Sister Berta's place, and virtually every one of those mothers and fathers are working, and sometimes two and three jobs. And they're taking buses. They don't have cars, many of them. They're taking buses to get their kids to school, to Operation Breakthrough. And those are the people that oftentimes don't have access to health care.
Yeah. Well, there's several issues that we're talking about here. One issue, just to sort of slow down and regroup, is this Medicaid expansion in Missouri. We'll talk about it a lot tomorrow in the wake of Governor Jay Nixon's State of the State address, which is tonight in Jefferson City. He's advocating this great expansion of Medicaid, 90% of it paid for by the federal government, I think 100% for the first few years, first 3 years, and then 90% thereafter. Some Republicans resistant to this because it's an expansion of government. I assume you come down that this is a very important step to take, Steve, to go ahead and expand Medicaid in Missouri.
Yeah, I think the expansion of Medicaid is crucial. If we don't expand Medicaid in Missouri, other states are going to do it, and so Missouri, one, from an economic point of view, we're going to lose that money. Our Missouri taxpayers' money is going to go to some other state who's expanding Medicaid. That's one argument. The second argument is that if less people are insured, our premiums, those of us who have insurance, our premiums are going to keep rising because
we're paying for,
for the folks who don't have insurance.
Yeah.
So in the long run, it's the cheapest, it's the most fair, it's the most outcomes-oriented process that we need to follow is get more people covered under Medicaid. And the Linda Lubrin at the State Budget Director and the Hospital Association, a lot of people have statistics that show that this is really not going to cost Missouri money, even in the out years after 2020. I am confident, Steve.
Well, why wouldn't it cost Missouri any money? Because we're supposed to pay 10%, I think, at that point.
Yes, but because of the people who are now insured, who don't go to the emergency rooms for their benefits
So it'll be a cost savings there, you're saying.
Right.
Oh, that's really interesting.
The thing that I think is important is that many of us have gotten ourselves in. I'm for Obamacare or against Obamacare. Hopefully we can have cooler heads to figure out that let's forget the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, that's been decided. Let's figure out how we can implement it in a way that benefits most Missourians. And I think expansion Medicaid is helpful to that process.
And Obamacare, just in general, where do you come down on? Is this the right thing to be doing again? Would you have changed the program if you could have changed it?
Sure. There's no federal law that's perfect.
Yeah.
I worked for Tom Eagleton in the 70s, and he was the author of the Old Americans Act and Meals on Wheels, Elderly Nutrition Sites, et cetera. And I remember sitting through hearings. I was 27 years old at the time. Yeah. And I thought we really did a bang-up job. And as soon as the bill was passed, we started getting these letters like, are you guys crazy? did you realize what you did, et cetera, et cetera? And so even with something that's not near as expansive as health care, we made mistakes, if you want to call them, or misjudgments, or things changed over a period of years that you got to continue to amend the bill. Medicare has continued to be changed. The Social Security Act has changed. There's no bill, especially something as extensive as the health care bill, that won't be amended. But that doesn't mean it's wrong. I think what has happened is we've been talking since President Nixon was in office about reforming the health care system. And finally, we've got it done. We've got more collaboration, more cooperation at the local level than I've ever seen before in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have KU and Children's, when you have St. Luke's and BJC and St. Louis working together, when you have all these accountable care organizations and these clinics and hospitals working together, that's all since the Affordable Care Act has passed. All the effort that we have now going on prevention, as opposed to putting 95% of our bucks just on treatment, all these things are because of the Affordable Care Act. Is it perfect? No. Mm-hmm. But I'm confident if we can get our legislators in Washington to listen to each other, to respect each other, to compromise. Again, back when I was working for Tom Eagleton in D.C., Jacob Javits and Barry Goldwater and Ed Brook and Gaylord Nelson, some of the stalwarts that I'm sure you remember.
Oh, sure.
They didn't agree, but boy, did they talk and did they argue. And then the compromise that came out of that was better than any of them had.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But that's the way it should be.
Steve Rowling's our guest. He's stepping down from the Healthcare Foundation of Greater Kansas City. He's led the foundation since it was created in 2002. I'm just wondering, in your years as a social services director in Missouri and your work at the foundation, your work with Tom Eagleton, your work with Ewing Kaufman, to what extent do you find yourself just discouraged by sort of the country's slow progress when it comes to health and better health outcomes and all of these kinds of things, which we're paying such an enormous price for these days?
Well, I'm more encouraged now, Steve, because we're actually doing something.
Finally.
Yeah. It's taken a long time to get there. I was discouraged after the Clintons tried to reform health care, and that was unsuccessful. But now we're progress maybe is too strong a word because of all the crazy talk that's going on, but we're making progress. And some of the things I just talked about, that wasn't happening 2 years ago, 3 years ago. So I'm more encouraged now about health reform and that we'll put more emphasis on prevention, we'll have more transparency, there'll be more collaboration, there'll be more access. That's all going in the right direction right now. So frankly, I'm more optimistic now than I've ever been.
Oh, that's great. your foundation just won a $162 million judgment against the Hospital Corporation of America. That's the owner of the largest hospital system in the Kansas City area. The lawsuit contended, Steve, that HCA hadn't spent what it promised on capital improvements to the former Health Midwest hospitals that HCA bought in 2003. The lawsuit also claimed that HCA had not met its charitable health care commitments to help pay for treating poor folks. The ruling is going to be appealed, but how significant a win was this for the foundation?
Well, our board felt we had a fiduciary responsibility to make sure that HCA lived up to their promises when they bought Health Midwest. The judge has ruled, and they've, as you suggest, HCA has said they're planning to appeal. If, in fact, the Healthcare Foundation and our board receives that judgment that Judge Torrance has given us, we would use that money to provide more services to the poor and the uninsured. We would increase access to health care for the underserved and underprivileged. So it would add we have a corpus now of about $450, $470 million, put another $160 on top of that.
Yeah.
We'll be able to increase our grant making $10, $15 million a year.
Hey, I gather this has been a concern of yours going back a while, watching all this unfold.
Well, our board has been looking at it. All this is public record. HCA had to provide documentation for how they lived up to the two items you mentioned.
Yeah.
Over the years, and we have been watching that, and we came to the conclusion that we needed to go to court to see if to get a rendering on whether or not they were actually living up to it. And the judge has ruled this week, and we'll see how it goes from here.
You know, I'm guessing that over the years, Steve, you've seen the Healthcare Foundation do some things that have to make you feel pretty good. I'm wondering, was there a day or two in your time at the foundation when you went out to a site visit, perhaps, and actually was able to see a result of what the foundation was doing that sort of just you'll recall for a long time going forward, a funding for a clinic or a center of some kind?
Several things came to mind, but the first two that just come to mind now is when you go into any restaurant or bar in the region and you don't smell smoke.
Yeah.
Again, we provided the money. We didn't do the hard work, but a lot of the folks that we funded helped pass the clean indoor air effort in all of the region, all the cities in our metropolitan area. And then we worked for the Sunflower Foundation in Topeka. And they did a lot of the heavy lifting to pass the clean indoor for the state of Kansas. So anytime you walk into a bar or restaurant and don't smell smoke, it makes me feel good.
Yeah.
In Cass County, several years back, we sent out a postcard to every resident in Cass County saying, you guys are eligible for money from the Healthcare Foundation, just a regular postcard. And in the very bottom of the postcard, real small print, we said, and we also fund oral health, among other things. The next morning after that postcard hit, we got deluged with phone calls, people saying, I haven't been to the dentist in 10 years, 5 years, unbelievable stories.
Well, why was Cass County your focus at that point?
Well, because we weren't getting as many applications from Cass counties as we were from the other counties in our service area. So I sent a letter or a postcard to all the residents saying, look, we've got this money. It's to benefit Jackson County, Lafayette County, and Jackson County, Missouri, Allen, Wyandotte and Johnson in Kansas. And at that time, Cass wasn't coming up with enough applications that we could, you can't receive money unless you apply for money.
What a tremendous opportunity that was for folks out there.
Well, and so the net effect of all those postcards and all those phone calls, 2 years later, thanks to hard work from people in Cass County, there's a dental clinic in Cass County. And you can go there now, Steve, and it will make you feel so good. There's 1,000 kids who've already been through that clinic who are now going through just basically treatment or prevention. But in the first early days, I mean, we were pulling teeth and some of the most horrible things you could think of. So for a young child in Cass County who was from a family that's poor, that makes you feel pretty good.
What else? Yeah.
I mean, there's...
Go ahead. I mean, these are great stories. It makes a difference.
I think it does. We've given a grant to the medical societies in Kansas City, Missouri, north of the river, and Wyandotte and Johnson County. And if you go to a safety net clinic, if you go to the Cancer Free Clinic, and they say, Steve, I'm sorry, you've got breast cancer. but you don't have insurance. Before this grant happened, you would basically try to get to see somebody, maybe at Truman if they had time, or probably you just wait till you got sick enough till you went to the emergency room someplace. Because of this grant, there are, I forget the number, but hundreds of doctors who stepped up, who now when you get that diagnosis at a clinic, you call MetroCare. MetroCare signs you up with a cancer specialist, and they see you for free, just like if you had Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Aetna, or whatever. Lots and lots and lots of money has been contributed by docs, and we owe them so much.
Well, Steve, it's so good to have you here. Again, congratulations on the retirement, and congratulations on all your good work for the Healthcare Foundation of Greater Kansas City. So good to have you.
Thank you, Steve.
You bet. Again, that's Steve Rowling, retiring head of the Health Foundation of Greater Kansas City. You can find more information about our broadcasts at kcur.org.